It's gonna be a gross one.
Welcome back to the Camp After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're gonna be talking season 2, episodes 4, 5, and 6. Let's get gross. Let's get gross right flipping now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, campers. It's the.
Hey, guys.
I made sure to.
Need to whine more.
I also need to be low on my chair, but that'll ruin the shot. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Camp After Show. Right here on AfterBuzz TV, we're going to be talking about the. I'd say kind of the grossest block of the season.
Oh, my God.
Oh, have you not heard?
I just realized what you're playing is our intro.
Yeah, this is the seminal classic Endless Love.
See, and I thought for sure you'd go with Don't Go Breaking My Heart because Shannon freaking McCormick.
He did that
at our panel.
Sorry.
Beautiful.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. I'm one of your hosts, it's Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter, at Mark Budonica. But we got the rest of the Rooster Team here. Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And to my left...
We got Kitty Cullen.
I thought you were going to say the name. Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over social media at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
Sorry for the weird schedule. There's a studio issue last week, and they didn't book us. So here we are.
They sent us off to be not Cub Scouts. Wood Scouts.
Yeah.
We spent a week in Wood Scout
Clearly,
camp, and it was terrible.
We were the best panel, yeah. And so they had to send us away. It's just how it works.
We need another week! Yeah, but...
I need another weekend.
But shout out to Megan for holding down the Red versus Blue panel.
Oh, thank you.
By the onesie.
Oh, thank you. Obviously, Joe helped out quite a bit by calling in. And I made sure that everybody knew that you guys were just fine in the murder room. It was totally cool.
That's where I was.
I told you I was on a secret mission. You knew that.
I actually was in a murder room. I was
literally at a secret agent conference. Not gonna
secret
lie.
Agent con. All right.
Quite literally.
So.
But I'm glad to have you guys back. Doing a show alone is not nearly as much fun as doing it with you guys.
I'll just put it this way. We're all first members, and with the additional week that we didn't go, it's going to be really hard not to talk about episode 7 and 8. Because those
are
so
good. We haven't seen
good.
Them yet.
You haven't seen either of them?
We record reactions, and we've had no time to record.
Well, that, and also, at least in this instance, it's like, it's good to have, like, blinders because we're covering a particular set of episodes. So,
true.
But I know what you mean. When you know and you have a burning desire to talk about it, it's really hard not to talk about it.
Red versus Blue.
Well, yeah. but Camp has become one of the shows, along with Ruby Chibi, that I get to share with my wife. And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, can we watch Camp? It's like, yes, we can. Hell yes, wife. Y'all weren't with us for the first episode because you're already in Texas.
Yep.
Shame on you? No.
Hell no, we were having a grand old
shout
time.
Shout out to
we
our
took
fill-ins,
over a bar.
Shout out to our fill-ins, though. They killed it.
Yes, yeah. Andrew Menn and Stacey Shuttleworth, honorary camp counselors. They were sort of like the flashback camp counselors in episode 5.
Dang it again.
Yeah, shout out to Raina. We've brought back camp activities.
Yay!
Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, in between episodes of Camp, we do activities that will allow you to sort of keep hanging out with us in the camp realm. And last week, or last show, it was a month ago, we provided three different camps that you could, which is fun because I'm going to have to come up with some camp activities while we're doing the show. But from last episode, we had a couple. We had, have you ever met your doppelganger, evil or not? Do you have a D&D character? And what is that D&D character? Show us your character sheet or describe the person or orc or halfling or whatever. And then the third one, I don't remember. No, make
robots.
Yourself a box robot.
Yes.
which is so much fun. Have you guys ever made box robots of yourselves?
No, but I do have a full-on Tron cosplay.
I was
regular
actually
robot.
Readings program.
Regular robot.
I was actually thinking of submitting because I actually did see some people at the Hollywood Half Marathon a few years ago cosplaying as Optimus Prime.
Boxtimus Prime?
With yes. Boxes on. But a couple years ago, I was also fancy Megatron for Halloween. No boxes involved, but I thought about submitting that picture.
And I was Optimus Prom.
Yeah, that was
That's
fun.
pretty flippin' adorable.
Oh, we had fun.
All right, so this has been absolutely crazy, and we have three campers that submitted some various things, and we're going to put them up on the screen right now if our engineer is paying attention.
You guys are
which
the best,
fun.
By the
yes,
way.
Yes, thank you so much for submitting. If anybody missed out on being a part of the show, please still tweet us with hashtag ABTVCampCamp so that we can shout you out on our Twitter account. Now let's take a look at our first camper. Steve, if you're in there.
Steven, is that you?
Steve.
Steven.
Steve.
What?
Can you know those pictures you have on the computer?
Oh, yeah.
The computer box.
You mean these right over here?
Yes, I mean those.
Wait, were we just chatting with a chatbot just
no,
now?
No, we were just chatting with Serge. All right. So
I got no idea what you guys are talking about.
So let's take a look at our first
it's
camper.
It's the Carter brother.
This, oh, no. God, no. This is Camper Julia, which is at Standing By Life, who submitted Dark Mage Jewels.
Ooh.
His mother is a nurse, father is a sorcerer. Thus, she became skilled in magic and healing.
Nice.
You don't want to make her angry. Her cloak slash poncho was a birthday gift, and she kept it as a reminder of home markings, washable marker, are tribal, hates double crossers. Wonderful character to roll. Hopefully not your first adventure, but that's a great way to start.
I love it. I love the coat.
I just really love the Hulk notification down at the bottom. You wouldn't like her when she's angry.
The warning signs are a nice touch.
Yeah, no, that is super cute.
Our next camper, who we had the distinct pleasure to meet at our panel at RTX.
An extremely talented person.
We got Malachroma. Who submitted...
Malachroma's in the chat, too. We love you, Mal.
Claire
so
Chroma.
Is Standing By Life.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hey, I got like 17 people in the chat. Hi.
Keep them coming. Tell your friends. If you want a place to talk about Cam Camp with weird people and these two ladies, come on. Join us.
We're all weird
Anyone who watches any of our reactions knows we're weird people.
Very
our weird, third yeah. host is a cat.
Anyone who watches literally anything we
are
do
you saying
at this
is
network.
True. Are you saying that I'm not a cat? That bounced pretty good. Yes, I am. Okay. Little do you know.
I think he can be whatever he wants.
When I grow up.
Well, winter doesn't sit in my lap, and neither do you. So
live your truth, Mark.
That's fair.
Live your truth.
It was almost instantly Mal updated their Camp character that they submitted last year,
mm-hmm.
and now we have that version of Mal as a D&D character. With the text that's too small for me to read because the TV's too far away.
I love the journey that we're on, though. I love seeing the evolution of this character.
Mal went from so happy to find a dinosaur bone to just being
here we go.
Oh, there we go.
Grand cleric.
Oh, the party needed $5 and they needed a healer, so here we are. is living mostly on energy drinks, quote, stamina elixirs.
Hasn't slept in 30 hours.
When I die, I want our tank to lower me into the ground so they can let me down one last time. Oh boy, he is suffering.
Someone
free him.
Someone has played with terrible Reinhardts because that's what that is.
But not Darren. Darren is a god.
Oh, Darren is a lovely human being, but a lot of Reinhardt players don't know what they're doing.
And then let's
Overwatch. Switch
it up. Not necessarily a D&D character, but a box robot from one of our favorite campers, Caitlin. She turned her character that she submitted last year into a box robot. She also submitted other stuff for all of the other, for each activity, which we are going to retweet and feature. We just have to blast through the show. So
Yes. Thank
you, everybody. And really quickly, some stories about one of the camp activities so that we can share.
Actually, I do have both of mine sent into the show's email if you're able to pull those up. So I'll go last.
Don't have time.
No time.
All right, you go.
Okay. I wanted to do a drawing of my D&D character, but I ran out of time. So I will tweet out a work in progress photo later. But I'll talk about doppelgangers because actually I have a few little doppelganger things. When I was 12, my face was exactly the same as my dad's face when he was 12. And there are family photos that corroborate that. But also when I was a kid, a girl in my class named Amber, she and I were mistaken for one another all the time. And as a kid, I didn't think about it that much. But as an adult, I'm like, that's because we were one of four brown girls in my entire class. So I was like, that's upsetting. But we did have very similar facial structures. But as an adult, one of my cousins named Sophia, literally all of our family members say we are the same person. I disagree with that assessment.
Being one of those people.
I am not the same as another person. I love her though. She's one of my favorite people. But everyone else says she's my doppelganger. I disagree, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, we are kind of the same person. It's fine.
Katie, do you have a doppelganger?
I do, actually. If anyone watches Arrow, and this is the reason that I brought props. You have to see this. My doppelganger is Emily Bett Rickards. It's kind of terrifying.
I don't watch Arrow,
Felicity
so I don't
Smoke.
Get it. Okay.
It is, these are the actual glasses frames, but yeah, no, I haven't had the chance to meet her yet. I was not that fortunate last time I was at Comic-Con, but yeah, no, I was in full Felicity cosplay and had people stop me and mistake me for her, so it's uncanny. Oh, it's beautiful, but it's just uncanny. And then, yeah, I sent in my character sheet. I have a... Her name is Isla. She is a human warlock who makes terrible life decisions because she's about as Slytherin as a Ravenclaw can get. Mm. Extremely intelligent, wanted more knowledge, looked up a bunch of demons to try to find one of the most powerful ones, made a contract with a demon who is essentially the equivalent of a frat bro. So she gets the power out of the contract, but he doesn't help her. He doesn't really do anything big, and his quests are the equivalent of, hey, can you bring me those cheese pretzels I really like? So she's in the world's worst contract, and she hates it, and it's so much fun to play because she thinks she's smarter than everyone in the room. Most of the time she is, and she's mad at the world.
And she's mean.
She's just a big old meanie.
Your character glommed onto mine, and mine can't figure out why.
Goodness. Well, for... I've a little bit of all of them. I've recently rolled a new character named Melindir, who is half elf, half human. He's kind of the Loki type.
Because
that's
elf.
Fun. Yeah. But I left that character sheet at home. Doppelganger story, and it's worse because of all of the people to mix me up with somebody... My wife saw my friend Spencer, who we dress the same. It's just like sort of off colors. Like he'd wear cargo shorts that would be like blue and I'd wear like tan ones. And we'd like wear weird t-shirts and we're very similar. We have similar laughs. So from behind one day back in college, she just jumped, like saw him walking down the hallway and jumped up and was like, hi, honey. And he just like turns like...
Not honey.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. Which when they both told me back, it's like, how did you do that? He's like, it's so difficult, which I don't blame her.
Malachroma's sole comment, all in caps, no punctuation, is oh dear.
And then one of the most fun things that I ever did was a quote web series with some friends of mine called Dragon/Explosion Force Time Splitters Requiem, which was it featured box robots, and I got to be a box robot. It was so much fun. I don't have video or anything, but if you can remember it, Dragon/Explosion Force Time Splitters Requiem. It's really silly. It's really funny. Go check it out.
Now, tweet that out later.
I actually tweeted it out earlier today.
Okay, well,
speaking of box
robots,
it's so dumb. But I
and
we had this was like 2007. But at that point, we got two of our favorite people that do web content to like do guest voices.
That's
which was
amazing.
it's still just blows me up to this day. It's just absolutely wonderful of them. All right, let's get to these wonderful and kind of terrible episodes. Starting with Jeremy Farts.
Hey,
now we
guys.
We got to the benefit of seeing this, or no, this was before RTX.
Yes,
but Duke.
I will say it's a treat seeing Jordan do the voice. Like, that's us.
Hey, guys. God damn it. So, long story short, the Wood Scouts make a bet with them that they just need to be nice for a day. Just a day. And if they lose, they take their best camper.
Everything's always for the fate of the camp. We just played Frisbee for the fate of the camp.
Yeah. And in drops... Jeremy Farts. Now, while we talk, I would love for the chat to let us know what your first impressions of Jeremy Farts were. But, oh boy.
He shows up and you're like, oh, it's going to be that episode.
I think the literal worst thing was when Neil patted him on the back and took his hand away.
There was a film of some sort. Not to be a Deborah Downer. Some of his dialogue was just... like the right amount of cringy to be entertaining. Gwen being like, hey, this isn't cool. He's developmentally challenged. He's like, actually.
I think that was my my favorite bit, was just him in terms of like, actually, my numerous doctors have assured us.
His specificity is remarkable. It's like, actually, my two friends call me Big Nips. Why? And then horror.
It's true, though. It's those
he's managed a whole two friends.
It's those little specifics where you're like, you only have two friends. I'm surprised you have that many.
Who are these people? I want to meet the Jeremy Farts friends. What's the Farts crew? That's what I want to meet. Hashtag Farts crew.
Jeremy Farts is like secretly rich. Or something like that.
I mean, his parents have to afford numerous doctors.
This is also true.
Standing by Life in the chat mentions, I honestly thought for the first 30 seconds that Jeremy was planted, which comes up in the episode. Like,
I totally he can't be real.
Because it was instantly.
I agreed 100%. I totally thought he was a plant for the longest time, up until the woods, up until David was the one that ended up tripping up.
See, now, and I went the other way and went, oh, they're going to lose the bet and the Wood Scouts are going to take Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Like,
I was
within
with
the first, like, 2 minutes, like, yep, that's going to be it.
I was firmly in the plant.
But did anybody think, and we're skipping to the end here, but did anybody think it was going to be David, of all people? Do you think that was their way of freshening up the whole thing?
No,
but it made me happy.
Dummy!
David was the last person I expected to be the one to actually do it, and that's why it was perfect.
But more and more in this season, we're seeing David kind of slowly approach his breaking point. Like, we keep seeing it. He keeps not knowing how to handle situations, and they keep escalating. Because we also see the, I don't know, in episode 6. And let's be real, episode 6 is like, well, my brain just melted out my ears. I can't vouch for anybody else.
But that's such a sensory overload that it's hard to take anything else.
But things keep getting more extreme, and we keep seeing David just kind of losing ground a little bit.
I would like to think that it actually shows a side of David that we end up seeing in the next episode, which is that David, underneath all the positivity, actually has a very cynical dark side to him that gets pushed down under the joy that Camp Campbell has given him.
Aww. I just, my favorite thing, and someone on Twitter actually did make this GIF for me. Thank you. Now I need to figure out how to save GIFs off of Twitter, because Twitter's like, they're tiny movies now. And I'm like, no, that's an image file and I need it in my life.
Well, you can do it off of your phone and then send your phone to your desktop.
Holy butts. Whoever made that for me, please send it to me again, because this is magical. Yeah, they made a GIF of David's little sometimes quasi-monologue at the end.
Sometimes!
Okay!
Sometimes!
that made me really super happy, because that is occasionally how I explain things. Just sometimes!
Now, so Jazz41173 brings up a very interesting point. Petrol was watching them the whole time and knows that Jeremy isn't the best camper. So, I mean, we've heard Petrol talk at length in many episodes, so maybe that's a joke, by the way. So, do you think there was a sense of maybe he sees something in Jeremy? And is like, you know what? Yes.
Oh, no. I think our main person in his arrogance just wandered in and went, oh, everyone seems to be upset at the prospect of losing him. Well, I'll just take him and make it worse for all of you. Like, there was no conversation. There was no nothing. It was, thanks for blowing the whistle. We're taking the guy that you seem distraught to not have. Bang.
I feel like he was just there. That despite what he observed, he's just there to follow orders.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And if that's the camper that boss wants, that's the camper that boss will get.
Now, this, like, the debate over who is the best camper created some infighting, you know. Yeah, guys, us, because we exist.
I'm the best camper. Little
background character joke.
Everybody. So who, if it wasn't Jeremy, who do you personally think is the best camper or who do you think should be sent off to the Wood Scouts?
Oh, I think they would have taken Max regardless, just to make life hell for everyone.
But they've had Max before.
But
yeah.
What? And they lost him.
Exactly.
The one that got away. So it would be like a personal vendetta thing. He's the one that would get taken. Do I think he's the best camper?
No.
They're all awful, but
they're all best at their respective camps.
I have a lot of feelings because I love them all individually. Mm. But honestly, I feel like probably Space Kid. I mean, he's always, I know he joked of like, just kidding, I see your point, and turned and walked away, but he's always enthusiastic. He's always in good spirits. He's very passionate about what he does. And very rarely does he actually cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the glue's getting in my butt. yeah, Space Kid's a good poll. I think if they wanted to just bolster their ranks, they should take the nerf.
Absolutely.
Big Kid, come. We need another enforcer.
Maybe there's too much emotional baggage there.
Like, he would change them.
Discipline. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's there for discipline.
He's like, I'm sorry, guys. But if you're a reedy little guy who's in charge of things and you want to do the actual smacking around, you don't pick someone bigger than you because they will hit back and they will hit back harder.
Well, here's the thing. Nerf is still smaller than their tank, though.
Yeah, but our boss, I cannot remember his name, just the annoying...
Pikeman.
Pikeman. Pikeman likes to do the smacking around himself.
Or you could say Puppy Master if that's better, because it's the same guy.
That asshole.
Or Loco, if that makes it easier.
That's amazing.
But, I don't think that any Campbell Camper would last because they would drive them all crazy.
Yeah,
in their own way.
With magic. You just kind of send Space Kid in as a sleeper agent.
Well, he may have a little bit of extra power after episode 6. But before we go, I think this is an important thing to talk about, because it pushed the limit. Like, they pushed the limit a lot with the type of humor that they do go with. But did anybody, quote, get Jeremy's costume at the end being a bundle of sticks?
Yeah. How do you not?
Yeah.
I've said this before. I like the way Clerks, the animated series, joked about that a lot better.
And we'll leave that. Go find that clip. Clerks, cigarette.
I love that you knew exactly what I was talking about.
It's one of the best jokes in that entire show, which aired 2 episodes. But, If I could vocalize my reaction, be like,
I mean, that's the thing with comedy, though, is not every joke is going to land. And I feel like this is an episode where not every joke landed. And it's just, honestly, it's either you like it or you don't.
But the fact that a bunch of tiny kids know the origin of the word is just kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm impressed by that or what.
I do think that the funnier was the delayed punchline of Nikki going, oh!
I was about to say the same thing. Max's was but Nikki's landed a little bit.
That's funny.
Nikki, whenever she has the final punchline in an episode, it's almost always golden. The best part of Rainy Day was the little...
Also, he kind of looks like Hitler. Bit. Do you expect to see Jeremy again?
No.
Probably season finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
His parents show up wondering where the hell he is.
We're going to see a lot of characters come back in the season finale. Like, I kind of feel Daniel might show up in the finale.
See, and I disagree.
The whole being dead thing.
Well, we'll see.
Just carted off in a hospital.
We'll see.
In an ambulance to a
hospital.
And
then come season finale, I'll be like, someone pick up that phone because I called it.
I wish I had my horn out. All right, episode 5.
And I'll be like, no, it has no service.
Episode 5, Jasper dies at the end. We got to see this RTX with a crowd of people. We sang the song 3 times, for God's sake.
So much McElroy.
So this was about Jasper being the best camper and going on the last quest in the Order of the Sparrow.
This is how Jasper's story ends.
And it being, I mean, Jasper dies at the end. That's an in-joke for people who know John dies at the end. But for people who don't, you know, we know that he's dead and died at his time at Camp Campbell. So maybe flip it around.
And hence the joke about, you know, if he gets lost or anything happens, it's coming out of your pay. Oh, not again.
Yeah. We got a lot of Cam, a lot of Jasper, and a lot of Dave.
At the panel, Miles' commentary about, oh yeah, I'm going to do this really tiny, annoying David voice. I'll never have to use it again. And then we have a whole flashback episode. It's just like, was it Griffin McElroy?
Griffin.
Yeah, so him losing his noise when Griffin McElroy came in to record. And I'm like, okay, well, who doesn't anymore?
I love that, like, during the panel, he said, nobody give me any adventures on spoilers.
I know an episode dropped yesterday, and I don't want to hear it.
But, yeah, this was my favorite of the ones we're covering. Mm-hmm. By and far, this is my favorite. If not, like, it's a close contender for my favorite camp episode ever. That musical duet at the very beginning of the season, I'm going back and forth on which episode I actually like more.
I hope you enjoy episode 7.
I rewatched these three episodes, and then I went back and watched the duet again, because just that clip, just, it's wonderful.
But like, this, it informs so much about David.
Cam.
Yeah. And
Travis. Willingham.
Anytime we go back to the 90s in a lot of animated stuff nowadays, it's always enjoyable. And I honestly feel like the comedy in this episode worked better than the comedy in the other two that we're covering. Just felt like a tighter story, and like the jokes landed a lot better.
Oh yeah, this was a really good episode. I think my favorite bit is just the montage of them walking in the woods in those four same scenes and watching the evolution of facial expressions, because Cam's are just, it's the same, and Jasper's quietly getting more worried, and just the last two rotations of Davey and just the wide-eyed rage face.
The Max face. Yeah. Like, they copied the shot from the intro of, like, the David and the kids climbing up the ridge, but with David in Max's point of view. It was wonderful.
And he just the wide-eyed rage face is one of my favorite things. Like, I've worn that expression before.
Yeah.
Usually on the
very relatable. Very relatable.
Gonna inform the audience a little bit on our co-host Patrick. When we were sitting and watching this episode in the panel, and it got to the part
we didn't witness anything,
and we'll testify to that. Patrick literally leaned over to me and he's like, that's the best joke this series has ever made.
Well, because Cam's always had this darkness, and now we know how he's willing to kill a kid.
He's willing to murder a little boy.
Well, and we know that this is not the first time that a camper has gone missing from
Chucky.
Camp Campbell.
And it won't be the last.
No, Jasper. After Jasper is disenfranchised with the camp.
This camp kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Hello, sirs.
God. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't expect that. One of the main pulls of this journey that they didn't need to go on was that no technology. You just have to use your knowledge of the land. And Jasper, of course, wearing his LA Gear light-up shoes.
They light up the night.
being what saves them from... I'm stopping for a moment. My favorite backstory element is the fact that we got how Cam killed the two bears.
Yes!
And it came back to the horror episode to the Spooky Island episode in a different way. And how graphic he was just, it's like, I just wanted to leave, not kill the bears. Well, no, I've got a spot for these in my summer home.
Normally, I say
like
murders.
Detroit.
Just like Detroit.
And then I said, just like Detroit.
I think one of my favorite, and this is just me reading into it because it's Travis Willingham, but swear to goodness, the whole I've seen bears do some weird things. Is that a Critical Role reference? That might be a Critical Role reference.
I just want some beans.
Well, Travis has slept on the couch because of stuff he's done to Trinket in game.
Oh, yeah.
Laura has made him sleep on the
couch. I have watched two episodes, and those are the ones that I have teched. And they've been magical because it was Darren DePaul, but aside from that...
Grog, though. Just Grog.
No, Grog's amazing. Grog's amazing. In this last episode, he was absolutely wonderful. But
I'm not caught up.
God, when you get to Darren DePaul's episodes. Oh,
I know.
God.
I am aware.
He is a god.
I am
Darren
spoiled,
is a
but
treasure.
Not caught up.
Yeah.
Darren is a treasure.
He, like, I can't. That's not what we're here to talk about. But I think my favorite line was at the beginning. This is just a great episode, but at the top, hey, watch it with those dangs, Davey. compared to Max's fuck, shit, bitch, all the everything that flies today, and what counted for vulgarity in 20 years ago. It was nuts.
it's also the David version of vulgarity.
I can't,
And the fact that even as a kid, he still goes, sigh, and gasp, like... Bless
that,
you.
That stuff
bless
gets...
you, tiny child.
Yeah. I mean, we get Jasper being disqualified for using the light-up shoes, but Davey ends up getting his little... Oh, we didn't even talk about the sandwich of this episode was that they're in the campmobile. taking Space Kid to the hospital because he glued himself into his spacecraft.
Or they glued him into the spacecraft. Or they glued him into the spacecraft.
Can I say that my favorite line in terms of the framing device was Nikki going, "I'm on the edge of my seat." Scooch, scooch,
scooch. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just adorable.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff in there. Max or Nikki doing the exact opposite of what everybody wants her to do.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Why would you?
any last things about Jasper Dies at the end?
It was just a great episode. Mm. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
I want to scoop this episode up and cradle it in my arms. It was that good.
I'm excited for the next after show.
Ooh, I can't wait. Oh my gosh, dude. You were hyping it up.
Dude, the next episode has like the majority of my favorite characters in it. And
we're
features
recording
them.
Tomorrow.
Good. I can't wait to see the tweet about it.
We haven't had time. I know which characters you're talking about.
Not, that's not entirely true.
Ooh.
There's more than that, which is amazing. Stop falling.
Quit dropping things.
No, it was my Ruby fidget spinner.
one that broke at the con.
Yeah, and it keeps breaking.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah, it's a piece of garbage.
Oh, no.
Best $5 you ever spent, right?
Well, no, that was a pizza.
I forgot my fidget cube, so I'm just tearing my hands up over here.
Not as good as a fidget cube, but pretty good.
I have an extra. Do you want one?
Oh, maybe. Maybe, definitely. And one of our engineers here brings it in, and I just, let me have the switch part, and then I get
thrown
back.
I just cracked my knuckles.
That's worse. All right. Last episode we're going to cover today.
I was stalling.
No!
Hold on. Shout out.
Go ahead.
I just want to do a shout out to all of the people who enjoy ASMR. This is Quartermaster Appreciation Day.
When I did my lovely little one-on-one interview with Shannon McCormick at this year's RTX, it was the week before this episode aired. And so one of my usual go-to questions when talking to actor, voice actor, etc., is where do you want your character to go? Where do you want their story to go from here? Mm. He thinks Washington's story is over, Ospin's is full of spoilers, and for this one he said, oh no, this next episode, this is the story I wanted to tell with the quartermaster. This is it. And I was like, all right, well, I'm looking forward to it. And then we sat down and we watched
Shannon.
Well, not...
That reaction video isn't up yet. It will be up hopefully at some point this weekend. You will understand.
No, you were doing it too, so I just wanted to be finger friends.
I just wanted to say really quick that we, you know, Shannon, Jen, and Samantha were nice enough to join us for our panel.
God, are they magic.
Yes. Lovely human beings.
And maybe this makes me, at the risk of this making me sound really dumb, when we were talking about Camp, and we were talking about the preview of this Quartermaster episode, Shannon starts doing the voice of the Quartermaster and of the Quarter Sister. I thought he was joking when he was and I do the voice of the Quarter Sister.
Well,
and
we didn't hear
that joking.
Doing both parts of Don't Go Breaking My Heart, like singing to himself in different voices, and I was just dying at the other end of the table going, yes.
It took me to about halfway through this episode to go, holy crap, he was telling the truth.
Well, no.
I thought it was
a joke. Yeah, no, you did, yes.
Well, we had only heard the one line in the preview at the panel, so, you know, how could we really distinguish from that? And it was in a big crowded room, not like headphones or anything.
I thought he was just making a joke. No,
that's not stupid.
He does that, he'll follow it up with, no, I'm just joking, it's so-and-so.
Yeah. Shout out to this person. But also, speaking to that, if you missed any of our RTX stuff, we have the audio versions up on our iTunes accounts, so you can listen to all of the respective interviews, as well as all of the videos. If you want to see how we're physically interacting with these people, make sure to go to AfterBuzzTV.com. There's a big RTX playlist. So there's the Day 5 Red Carpet. There's interviews with people from Camp, people from Red vs. Blue, people from Ruby. It was a wonderful time. Thank you again to Rooster Teeth for having us out there. It's always a damn good time. And meeting everybody out in Austin it's always amazing. And
thank you to everyone who wandered off to our panel.
Yeah. Especially after the Ruby panel left and we got a couple extra people.
Yay.
But hoo boy. So we're introduced to the Quarter Sister.
The only living relative that the government still knows about.
So there's one out there that the government doesn't know about because we got two down, one to go.
Two to go. Two more to go.
No, it was 2-1.
Yeah, one down, two to go.
I thought it was the other way around.
Well, it's a quarter. Four quarters make up a whole.
I could have I listened to it again today, and I could have sworn it was two down, one to go.
Point being is that the quartermaster still has, at the very least, a living relative out there.
There's more.
Chat, yeah. Check it for us.
Please.
Please check it for us, chat.
What can be said?
Gross.
The gross, incestuous relationship.
Thank you, Sparks, Nevada. Gross.
Just absolutely... So while all of this is happening and David and Gwen are dealing with the quarter fam, we've also got the kids trying to show their appreciation by taking his own stuff and giving it back to him
in the quartermaster store. One of the used dolls was the Cynthia doll from Rugrats.
I missed that. I missed
the,
that.
The very distinctive hair. Yeah.
Guys, no, there's Cynthia.
I just hate that they were referred to as used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they were set on fire.
just hair. Yeah. The green one.
Yeah. But I like I love visual gags like that. It's like just hair. She was right. She nailed it.
And then it's a puzzle piece with all corner pieces. It's a corner puzzle.
Just the type of puzzle that I like. My favorite puzzle. My favorite type of puzzle.
How could something like this have happened?
Cousin's fucked.
Yeah, Standing My Life says Cousin Fucked was one of the cousin's best fucked.
And David just trying to be damage control. Like, kids, you go over there. Oh, we're going to deal with this.
I will say that, like, outside of the factor of this episode, Gwen just absolutely losing her mind about the trashy drama.
Malachroma has settled it for us. Just watch the episode. The line is two down, one to go. I'm going to win that taunty and tell you
that
what.
That makes sense.
But two that's down, still four.
He's three. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm also dyslexic. That's dyslexic for dyslexic. Cool. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Malachroma. You're lovely.
And Caitlin.
You guys rock.
Hoo boy. Now, one of the most interesting moments of this trip into the quartermaster store is our lovely space kid finding a box in a pentagram in a circle.
I'm excited.
His eyes are reddened and says something in reverse. Now, one of the things that I really wanted to do was, once that episode came out on YouTube, was to take it, grab it, reverse it, find out what the man said. It's a little spooky.
Let's hear it. I love spooky.
Oh, you mean like the whole damn episode?
Spookier, because it's a lot more...
Is it Klaatu Barada?
No.
Klaatu Barada Coffee V.
The master must not be made whole again.
Dude! Quartermaster! Oh, and they've got a...
The devil?
Oh. And there's a tauntine.
There's a tauntine.
And he has access to ancient prophecies that might occasionally come true. And he killed the king of the forest and took the crown. Like,
maybe like a forest demon?
There's some weird shit going on.
Maybe a forest demon.
That's
And he's
awesome.
Taking away the goodwill. And
He's an ancient Greek titan.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it so much.
Now, this episode was gross.
End times.
This is really... And that's another thing. The flipping volcano is still... Whatever.
Negative continuity. Negative continuity.
Man.
That's what the show runs on. And Malachroma says, so is he a half-master now?
Oh, and people are starting to freak
and
out.
And Jazz cause... says he's a Highlander.
Oh, God, no.
There can only be one.
Three quarters master, since he absorbed two of them.
Of all of the quarters, he is the master. I mean, what other highlights or lowlights of this episode are there, really? Because it was gross, but it was funny. Did anybody expect them to start making out?
Gwen was the best part of this. We
can definitely make a reality show out of it.
Well, on the you are female. Which, not gonna lie, is the weirdest.
The plus side is that you don't have to worry about STDs because you have all of them. I secretly love it, but you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Just like, oh my god, I can't believe they went there. Oh my god, I can't believe they went there.
They're still going there.
That's one of my favorite things is like saying something very enthusiastically, saying the same thing with a dark realization of what's occurring in front of you.
I hate it that so many of the shows that I watch have gone this route. Like, incest in my shows has become, like, my number one pet peeve.
Because it keeps showing up often enough for that to be a pet peeve.
It bothers me a lot. But anyway, I think one of the best things about this episode, though, was David trying to put a positive spin on it. Well, if it makes him happy, then I support it. And after about 2 seconds going, nope, never mind, can't do it.
And Standing By Life and Malachroma bring up actually two of my favorite bits of the episode. Standing By Life saying, Quartermaster saying he'd betray everyone.
I have given you nothing to revere. I will betray you all when the opportunity arises.
Do not speak to my interests.
Do not speak for my interests.
You'll be first. And then Malachroma, I really liked when the quarter sibling screaming was audible over the theme song. Yeah. So, like, I lost my noise. It was great.
I'm happy we only got a bit of the episode at RTX, but if it would have been loud and a little bit hard to hear, but if we had gotten that with a live crowd and everybody just laughed, I would have loved to hear that in a crowd setting.
But I think people were so trained to sing the theme song that a lot of people would have missed it.
True. Yeah. So they probably would have had to bump it up so that people could.
Yeah.
Let's just have a new podcast called Shannon McCormick Argues With Himself.
I need it in my life.
And he just creates new voices to...
can't tell me what to do! I don't miss twice!
Yeah. Well, and he's straight up said, when Rooster Teeth needs a voice for an immortal, they cast me, so...
Which
shout out to Red. At other shows.
Shout out to Red versus Blue.
No spoilers. Anyway.
What happened? I'm not caught up. He survived a lot.
Anyway.
Man, these were some fun episodes. I'm really looking forward to the next couple, mostly because I've seen two out of the three. But this is a weird group. This is a weird group of episodes to grade together.
This is a weird set.
Because of how it was divvied up, having two of the very gag-inducing episodes, like... sandwich. It's like, can we just take the bread off that sandwich and just have the Jasper?
And just stick with the peanut butter.
I need a new pair of yogurt shorts.
Don't you mean yoga pants?
Not anymore.
Because, well, like, it's gross and it's weird and it's dumb, but Jordan's delivery was just perfect for some of those things, man.
Malachroma says Shannon McCockroach because his characters never die.
I'm
down.
Get a first membership and tune into day 5. and crunch time for that matter, I guess.
Vampire doctors.
I ain't talking to that bastard man. Jesus Christ. Like, there's so many.
I can't say it. It's too mean-spirited and grammatically incorrect.
You say it.
God damn it. I just can't,
dude. The same man who took his hook off and attached a large purple dildo to it. Like,
I warned you, child.
Can we just get Jasper back?
I never thought I'd say that in my life.
This is the man who took his hook off at you.
I mean, that hook is showing some versatility. The heart with the two hooks together.
I will say, though, that, like, given what we now know about the Quartermaster, I'm like, he's got freaking magic powers, right?
Oh, like, he does. He is, like, the worst Time Lord.
He's the master. God.
Just a quarter.
Is that what we're building up to? That it turns out he's just an incarnation of the master who, like, horcruxed himself?
Yeah, no, all of his multiple incarnations were split across 4 different people, and he has to absorb them back, and therefore when he reincarnates, he'll be David Tennant. I don't know.
No, he would be a master. Shannon He'd be McCormick. One of the actors that then played the master.
So before we wrap, I just want to go
McCormick
through...
doing his best David Tennant, though.
Everybody in chat, give us your favorite line from these three episodes, just so that we can have fun and perform them, because why not? Any ideas where you want... Now, as of this after show, we are halfway done with the season. So we're going to episode 12. We know we have some more episodes coming in the fall, but what do you want? What are you still waiting to see... Until not necessarily predictions, but what are you waiting to see for until the end of this season?
I'm looking forward to Parent Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't confirmed that it's Parent Day, but they've pretty much said that it's Parent Day.
It's that
and
wink,
it's a
wink,
double length episode, and it's like, yep, I'm gonna need this in my life.
What I would like to see, I don't know if we're going to get it in this season, but given that we have David's backstory in terms of how he came to love Camp Campbell, I want to see the backstory of how Gwen ended up at Camp Campbell.
Well, in talking to Lietti, please go check out that interview. God, I had so much fun doing that. She talked about
you and the farting chairs.
I am the vinyl fart king. I am vinyl farts. That's my character name. But she talked about how there was going to be a Gwen focused episode coming up. It's not too far in the future, and you may watch it tomorrow. But you'll get to learn a little bit more about Gwen.
That's awesome.
Again, please go back, watch, share all of our Rooster Teeth stuff at RTX. Man, was it so much fun.
It was such a blast.
And comment, for the love of God, comment, please. Like, watching is one thing, but commenting adds extra play and makes more people find it. And lets us know that you're there.
You know how they say never read the YouTube comments? We read the comments.
We do. And we love you guys.
We really do.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz commented Neil brought up his parents hating each other.
Well, he brought that up last season too.
Yeah. Not touching that garbage fryer.
And we also have the bit, like, we know Nurse Mom is in jail, mm-hmm. and we had the bit with the packages from home.
They're like, doing a lot to, like, set up
breadcrumbs.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of setup in terms of what we will most likely get.
My parents didn't come to this country for this. And then Nikki was also talking about Mom and Dad's divorce or whatever secretly. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I believe Jen has mentioned about Arid's parents in a couple of our interviews as well. So just again, little breadcrumbs, little nuggets.
The parents.
Look at those breadcrumbs. All right. Now,
I just love Rex the X is a gun technology. That was half the stuff that Cameron Campbell says just makes me lean back and laugh.
Is it gun technology?
Is it gun technology?
I wonder if they let Travis improv at all.
I'm sure they do.
I don't think they have a choice.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. All right. So before we go, the last thing that we're going to bring up is what our camp activity is. Now, this isn't going to involve art. This isn't going to involve anything where it's going to involve your face and your phone. That's how easy it is. We want to hear the story of what the weirdest gift you have ever given or received is.
My time has come.
My time has come.
Oh, Megan knows these stories. I have like three of them.
Cool. Then
and they're all from the same person.
We'll be able to tell one of them on our next show, which will be the 16th of August. Last thing before we go, any last things you want to promote, plug, push to, favorite moment from RTX? Let's hit it.
It's really hard to pick a favorite. It really is. Again, the entire Rooster Teeth community is so gracious in terms of all of the one-on-one interviews we did. The day five red carpet, like getting to go to the day five red carpet and being one of the only media outlets to do that. It was very exclusive.
After Buzz TV exclusive.
Yeah, it was
pretty much.
We're the on-camera exclusive for the day five.
We are.
We're the reason they had it.
Yeah.
Essentially. Crap, we have to do that this year.
I hesitate to say that.
But no, they treated us very well. I got to talk to, Lindsay and Aaron and Kara. I will say, though, probably favorite interview, just like the year before, my interview with Jen Brown. So much
fun. But also, you got to do a little bit more with Jen Brown.
Yeah. If that's okay to plug.
It is. 100%.
Jen and her friend Dawn do a podcast called The Women in Caskets, where they talk about horror movies from a feminist perspective. And we have our own channel called Silver Screams, and we did a crossover with them talking about It Follows. And it was a ton of fun. Those two ladies are super knowledgeable and funny and just all around fantastic.
Also, their lamp was possessed.
Yeah! I'm pretty sure Jen's apartment is haunted.
I mean, perfect. She picked the perfect place to be.
Like, that sure was a thing. I actually really enjoyed the reactors panel and talking about red versus blue stuff and Arnold keep having to cover his ears because he's in the middle of season 6 and we're talking about...
Why would you do that? Not you, him. Indirect.
He'd never seen it before, and so he's reacting to it as he goes. And so we're talking about, like, I'm talking about the murder fridge, and it's like, cover your ears, I'll tap you when we're done.
Having to tiptoe around, like, things that have been relevant plot points for years.
It's like, oh, man, I love that CT character. I hope she sticks around.
She? Like,
the identity of the meta, like, church, like, all of that stuff is just kind of like, you can uncover your ears now. And yeah, so who was it? Standing by Life brings up singing Bohemian Rhapsody at the Ruby panel.
Yes, that was amazing.
And also the Take On Me dance line at the Ruby sponsor panel was
terrifying.
Oh my god, that was so funny. Just there's just this laundry list of wonderful things that happened at RTX.
Can I also
getting
just
a chance
say,
to talk with Shannon again? He wrecks me every stupid time. It's great.
You know, just hanging out with the Rooster team.
Yeah,
I was gonna say dinner, but that's not the exciting answer for the people out there. But no, we rarely get a chance. Like, outside of the studio, we're all so busy. We rarely get a chance to just hang out and being able, and then also the H1Z1 party that we got to go to.
It makes me miss you guys because
it's the only RTX, time we ever see each
RTX
other.
RTX is like such a nice, fun time where we get to spend actual time together.
That was Comic-Con for me, because it wasn't just like, oh cool, I got to see all the Voltron people again, but there are various people from this studio that I don't see anymore that I got to spend hours with that I just don't get to. But in terms of RTX, the panel that we got to host was absolutely amazing, and to everybody that came, we absolutely love you. To everybody that didn't come, we don't hate you. Just help us by watching the video, spreading the video, commenting on the video, thanking our guests Shannon, Jen, and Samantha.
And we will eventually get that panel footage and have that up.
It's up.
Okay, yeah.
No, we got it. We got it immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. I put that up right when we got back. So it's
I'm
up.
I'm good
on,
at life.
It's on the after. Excuse me. It's on the RTX playlist. So check that out. Check out all of our interviews and
press
tie between.
And
yeah, press conference. Yeah, everything. Sam Lee. I got a chance to talk to. Never mind. I'm going to skip that because I'm freaking out because we're being told to wrap up completely justly. I'm going to do this really quick, and it's not a diversionary. Josh Flanagan. I got to talk to Josh Flanagan, who I've been a fan of since 10 Little Roosters, because 10 Little Indians was one of my favorite books growing up. Agatha Christie, amazing writer, and seeing him develop that, I got to talk to him for like 20 minutes,
amazing.
Which was just amazing. And then also make sure to watch our Red vs. Blue show, which is going to be in 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's every
21st.
24th. That's a Tuesday.
August.
Yeah, August. Yeah. So August 24th.
I'm already in September because I'm like, okay, it's on your birthday, and then we see Hamilton the next day.
Smart.
That's where my brain is.
So Red vs. Blue is going to be the 24th of August, and then our next show for Camp Camp is going to be August 16th. Please go to iTunes, leave us reviews. We'll read them next time. And make sure to do our camp activity. What's the weirdest gift you've ever been given or received? But that'll do it. Twitters, and then we're out. Because we're over.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Show on Tuesday, other show on Tuesday, Geek and Sundry on Friday. Also on Silver Screams, Silver_Screams on the social media, Silver Screams on YouTube. Do the thing, win the stuff.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheManguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And I tweet out everything I do. Bye.
Mark Donica, make sure to follow the team at at ABTV Rooster Team. That's where we just sort of post all of our updates, little video things, and that's where we check to see if you give us a little bit of a camp activity. Please make sure to follow us at ABTV Rooster Team. Follow all of us here at the network at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for watching us, and we'll see you at Camp Campbell. Campanium.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Just sometimes.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.